You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
You know, one of the themes that's run through the last couple of weeks is, are you a person of integrity? And, of course, Judge Kavanaugh has been lauded as an individual that has integrity. And, again, as parents and grandparents, we really want to teach that to our kids. So I thought for just a few minutes we would take a little bit of a break from the hearings because, again, we need to hear from everybody that will be making that presentation. And we'll get into this in a lot more detail on our Friday weekend edition. So I thought you would really benefit from this book, How to Build Children with Integrity. Karen Buczynski is with us, and she has directed women's ministries for a number of different churches, as well as been a Sunday school teacher. She attended Central Bible College to study biblical counseling and oftentimes speaks to various MOPS groups, is a mother of five children, and she and her husband reside in Michigan. So, Karen, thank you for joining us today here on Point of View.
Thank you. It's good to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
You know, one of the things that surfaced almost instantaneously in some of the material that was provided by your publisher is a study that was done by the Barna Research Group. And we've had George Barna in studio here. We've had all sorts of other people that since then have taken over for the Barna Research Group. And one of the things they found, interestingly enough, is that we do, as parents, oftentimes talk to our kids about self-control, maybe happiness, patience. But we don't talk about serving others, conflict resolution, the things that sometimes really lead to this idea of integrity, which is why I know you wrote this book, the need for us to have a manual about how to begin to build integrity into the lives of our children and grandchildren.
That's right. I feel that that is a missing link. Even the parents that have integrity that are modeling it in front of their children. Modeling is different than training. And so the book is literally a chapter-by-chapter strategies on ways to not just model the character, but to train your child to be able to have it.
And, you know, model is important because I've heard, and I've used this phrase many times before myself, that character and integrity and lifestyle and everything is more caught than taught. I mean, kids are like little values vacuum cleaners. They just suck up the values from you. You can talk about honesty all you want, but the first time they see you doing something that they see is maybe not honest, they go, Dad, what, why did you do that? You know, and so obviously we need to model it, but we need to be in, have some kind of intention in terms of how to teach that. And let me just explain, and Karen, you can help us out here, talk about the book for just a minute, because you've got 10 chapters, which is a good two-thirds of the book, and then you have seven appendices, so you end up with about a 300-page book. So there's a lot of great material here so that an individual, a parent or a grandparent saying, okay, I'd like to teach this to my kids or my grandkids. I really want to use this, but I don't know where to start. You've really kind of given them kind of a step-by-step, haven't you?
I have, and I didn't want the appendices to take away from just a pervasive view of the chapters. And so I put them in the back for those who really want to go deeper in different areas. It's when you write about children, you're writing about so many various personalities and different character traits that you're trying to, like you can see in a child which ones that they need to develop, which ones they're struggling with. And I wanted this book to be really a pretty much an encyclopedia of ideas of how to integrate the, you know, the follow me and hear from me and watch me, but also how can I impart these things to be part of my children's personalities? For example, if you take your child to the game every week on time and you get them there on time, It really hasn't trained them why you got them there in time. So I want parents to go beyond just doing it to saying to their child, we are going to get there in time because you doing your thing or taking time to catch up with your homework isn't as important as considering the team that's waiting for you. And so by just tweaking what a lot of parents may be already doing or just looking at verbalizing the why behind what you do can become a training for your children so that they can integrate those philosophies and the reasons into their own life.
Might just mention, too, that we have a link to your website, KarenBuchinski.com. You don't even have to know how to spell her last name because we have a link there. There's a trailer about a minute and a half long on how to build children with integrity, also one on how to build an enduring marriage. So a couple of great resources there as well. And before we get into kind of the 10 points, let's talk about the fact that there's another very good reason for writing this book, and that is we're in the midst of a, as you call it, anti-Christian culture. So as a result, the values that are caught oftentimes are not just caught from you as a parent who is a Christian, or even caught from the pastor or the Sunday school leader, but they're also caught from an anti-Christian culture. And so the bottom line is that, Karen, more than ever, we have to figure out how to counter-program, because if indeed they're picking up their values from the world, we're not going to end up with Christians when they become adults.
I find that that is indicative in the statistics for America, and that is why I believe Jesus gives us more power than we even garner in our lives, because one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. The reason why is because he will multiply our time and our efforts supernaturally, but we still need to spend time giving our children the principles. We need to work harder than ever because a great deal of time they're not even in our homes. So it's more important than ever that we speak of his statutes and principles and ordinances while we're in the way with them. And this is going to give you some great tools so that while you're in the way in ordinary life, that you can instill things in your children that will stand up against the opposition. When that enemy comes in like a flood, we need to lift up the standard against him.
And again, lots of great questions, 10 chapters. Let me get into chapter 1. I can be content with who I am and what I have. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. Let's come back to that verb, I learned. It tells me, Karen, that contentment isn't a natural phenomenon for our kids. And anybody who doubts that, just stand by the checkout counter at a grocery store where all the candy is, and you will hear weeping and gnashing of teeth from some of the kids that want this. So one of the first keys in your book is to really teach your kids to learn to be content. How do we do so?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that are delved into in the book, but the first one is to teach children to say, it is enough. Children are put into our laps, and all of a sudden, we want to give them everything. And a lot of parents, they just want to give their children the opportunities they didn't have. They want to give them the Christmases they weren't able to have been afforded when they were a child. And so, unfortunately, we give way too much to children. And at the end of it, I have many parents coming to me with high schoolers, and they're thinking, my child thinks the universe revolves around them. And I take a look at the habits the child has gotten used to, and I say, well, I can see why.
Sure.
I think it's really important not to give your children everything, but to teach them to say it is enough, and to teach them to deny themselves and to be content and not to have everything they see, and to put limits and to not give them things before they even know they want it. I think that we are a overindulgent generation, and as Christians, we know that if we don't deny ourselves daily, that we are not worthy of following after Christ. And the reason why is because if we deny ourselves, we will have more to give, not just financially, but more of ourselves and time to give to relationships and the things that we know that the Lord knows will make us happier and have more fulfilling lives in the end. Materialism is eating up our society. We can see it in the Hollywood principle. If you want to see if money buys you contentment, all you have to do is look at the people in Hollywood that just have so much, and yet it doesn't buy contentment. Contentment is great gain, and we need to give our children contentment with a little so that they have more to give and they turn around and we can combat these depression statistics for teenagers because of our overindulgent society.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, continue our conversation with Karen Buczynski. And again, the book is entitled How to Build Children with Integrity. We've talked about I can be content with who I am and what I have. We come back, we're going to talk about I am part of a family. I can deny myself. That's another issue that we just talked about. I can work in progress. I am a work in progress. I can get along with others. There are just a lot of great principles in this book, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to feature it today. And if you'd like to know a little bit more about her or the book or her ministry, it's all available at our website, pointofview.net. Let's take a break. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
Go mobile with Point of View and take transformation with you on the go. Search in Google Play or the Apple Store for Point of View Radio, the Point of View Radio mobile app. Download it free today.
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really. You have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their health care bills. And these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others too. And it's people who love to save money, big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Find out more. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE, 855-90-BIBLE.
Point of View will continue after this.
You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. And now, here again is Kirby Anderson.
Continue conversation this hour with Karen Buczynski as we talk about her book, How to Build Children with Integrity. And I think you're going to really appreciate this book. And if you're a parent, grandparent, this is something I really think you need to have on your shelf and to consult on a regular basis. Let me just mention, of course, we knew the Kavanaugh hearings are taking place, and we're continually watching those. And matter of fact, about a half an hour from now, we're going to have Jimmy Hinton on, who has become quite an expert on the issue of sexual abuse, sexual predators, and those kinds of things. So we will be talking with him and, of course, taking your phone calls then. Russell Moore will be with us as well next hour. He is the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. We'll be talking about his book, The Storm-Tossed Family, but also get some perspective as he has been probably best known for his book Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel, which was Christianity Today's Book of the Year a couple of years ago, and some other resources. So we will be getting to this topic as well. But again, we recognize that there are certainly other issues to address, and that's one of those that we are addressing today as we talk about building integrity into your child. We talked a little bit about this, Karen, in terms of learning to be content. Another chapter which I thought was really important is I am part of a family. Now, I'm thinking that both you and your husband from time to time say to your kids, you're a Buczynski, you know, you're part of this family. You know, there is this kind of individualism and this self-reliance, but we are part of a family, and that's something else we need to really pass on to our kids, because just as the issue of contentment and materialism are important, selfishness and a lack of identity with a family is another key issue, isn't it?
It is. That's one of the first things that God does with us, is he makes us accepted in the beloved. And he puts the solitary in families, he says. And for those that have a dysfunctional family or no family, he gives us the family of God and gives us so many illustrations of how important a family is, and each part of it is. I think a family is important to show you unconditional love and acceptance. In fact, I go into detail in the book about how a family with the father is there to show you the father heart of God. It is actually a parable that we can know how God loves us and how it is to be a child of God. And then eventually when we're the parents, how God looks at us as how we see our children. That's the most beautiful illustration of the family of God. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of abuse, like you were just saying earlier on in your announcement. We've had a lot of abuse with things, and now we don't see family as the illustration it was created to be. So we want to get more back to that standard.
And again, one of the aspects of that is learning about unconditional love and all sorts of things that parents can and should communicate to their children. But another part of that, being a part of a family, also relates to the third chapter. It doesn't always have to be about me. This sort of narcissistic culture, let's face it, teenagers are pretty narcissistic anyway. They always have been. But I think, Karen, it's gotten worse with these digital devices in their hands, because now they can update their Facebook page. They can put videos and on YouTube. They can put pictures on Instagram. And as a result, it's just reinforced this idea that literally, as you said just a minute ago, the entire universe centers around me. And the bottom line is you want to begin to think of some ways to help them understand that it isn't always about you.
You're right. And even more sadly, I was talking to a teenager yesterday. She's 15 years old. And she virtually had to separate from so many of her friends, because not only do teenagers believe it's all about me, the question of who they are is being so attacked that so many of her friends weren't even sure if they were bisexual, things that were just unknown to me just a short decade ago. The things that our children are dealing with in school are just unbelievable. And so it's really important to give them that solidity in a family, the ability to know that they don't have to be all things to be some things, so that they can be realistic and reasonable in who they are, so that they aren't dependent on the approval of a crowd. For example, I really think when children are small, a lot of parents innocently try to make their kids trendy and cool. And of course, the stores for children's clothing, sometimes children are dressed like little teenagers, mm-hmm. and sometimes even, unfortunately, seductively. And they try to make their kids look so cool and to be accepted and to feel good about what they're looking like. And the danger is that if you feed your children and train your children, whether it's innocently or not, when they're older and they're dependent on peer approval, it's going to get them into big trouble in high school. And so those are some of the things that I want to encourage parents to look at earlier, before they even are thinking of their child dealing with teenage things. They need to look at how they're training or equipping their children as toddlers to be victorious in their teenage challenges.
Again, the book is entitled How to Build Children with Integrity. And Karen, let's, if we can, talk about I Can Make a Difference in My World. And one of the things I appreciated is that no matter how busy your schedules were, and of course kids can get very, very busy with sports and all sorts of activities and clubs and things like that, you still wanted them to learn to be a blessing. And so this is about giving. Now, obviously, giving is financial giving, although usually young children and even sometimes teenagers don't have a lot of money to give, but they certainly have a lot of time to give. And so whether it's their time, their talent, or their treasure, this is one other thing that we really need to emphasize in a culture which oftentimes does not emphasize being responsible, serving, and instead reinforces materialism and selfishness. So what would you suggest there?
Well, the first thing I taught my children is if something worthwhile is in front of you that you think is a good cause, put something in. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be a quarter. It can be a few minutes of your time, but put something in. The other thing is balance. It's just not all about your children, not, oh, we have a free day, let's see what you can do. There's different things that you can put names in a hat. I give a lot of ideas. You can put names into a can and pull a name out. Who can we make happy today? Who do you think needs encouragement today? who do you think you could sit with this week at school that's feeling left out, and give one of your lunch periods to someone who needs a friend instead of just hanging out with your friend? I think those are the kinds of things that we can get our children used to doing. And then when they get encouraged with that and they learn the fun of giving, have intentional giving as well. So you can adopt a nursing home or go read to a grandma or pick up groceries for somebody and overcome the hindrances to think, oh, I'm not together enough to give, or my kids embarrass me. Just keep trying to be a giver and looking for opportunities and teaching your children the joys of it, and they will catch the joys of giving by giving instead of just by observing. They'll be participants in knowing that everything that you give will come back to you 100-fold.
Karen, let's, if we can, also spend just a minute before we take another break on one of the chapters, I Am Responsible for My Responses. And the first point you say is parents better be responsible for their responses. In other words, you need to earn your child's trust. But this is a really big one, because now in this world of instant communication, a young person can post a video, a picture, say a statement on a Twitter feed or a Facebook post or an email, and regret it for years. So this is something we're really going to have to teach our kids in a world of instant communication. True?
True. And if you teach them that they can be responsible, and then you teach them how to pause before they put those things out there, how to hear their conscience, how do you develop a child's conscience? How do you teach them to not just register the temperature, but set the temperature, not just to go along with the crowd, but to stand up? Taking that offensive position rather than just defensive will teach them how to take the points. I was privileged to work as a mentor yesterday in one of the Detroit schools with some eighth graders. And this one young girl, I asked them, what would you like to work on as far as to improve your character? And she said, I just have such a bad attitude. So to teach her to say, look, at that is your choice. Let's flick that switch and let's pretend like your attitude is a light switch. And just if you decide to change it, you can just flick it and purpose to enjoy this day and make the most out of your day. And as far as that instant communication, to think ahead, to not just act in the moment, to pause before you're doing something, that you can learn to hear what your conscience is saying to you.
Good. Flip that switch. We'll continue our conversation on how to build children with integrity right after this.
Welcome to the First Liberty Briefing. I'm Jeremy Dice. The Islamic Society of Basking Ridge, New Jersey, has fought City Hall for the last 4 years. The Society hopes to build a mosque in the Liberty Corner section of Bernard's Township, ending the 25-mile one-way drive its members must make each day to attend daily prayers. The township has rejected their application 9 times. The planning board held 39 different public hearings over 3.5 years, significantly more hearings on a site plan than any other application to date. Every time the Islamic Society amended their application, the township insisted upon additional requirements. In short, the city buried the society in endless paperwork that no other house of worship had to complete. In November of 2016, the United States Department of Justice sued the township on behalf of the Islamic Society. Less than 2 months later, they won. Those seeking to build a house of worship should never be harassed. It is both unfair and unlawful for a city to require one house of worship to meet certain standards, but allow a different religious body to ignore those same standards. This case will probably be appealed, and the challenge will continue, but I hope the Islamic Society will continue to be successful. In a land that values freedom, our government should never make the free exercise of religion difficult. To learn how First Liberty is protecting religious liberty for all Americans, visit firstliberty.org.
You can learn how to protect religious freedom in the workplace, public schools, your church, the military, and more. by downloading First Liberty's free Religious Liberty Protection Kits at firstliberty.org. That's firstliberty.org. If you want hope for religious freedom, go to firstliberty.org.
Now, back to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Karen Bujinski with us for a few more minutes as we talk about her book, How to Build Children with Integrity. And let's, Karen, if we can, talk about discipline. That comes from the Latin, which means, you know, an instruction or teaching, really kind of a set of rules and regulations. And let's talk about you for just a minute, because discipline allowed you to memorize and play some incredible classical piano pieces. Discipline enabled you to first run a marathon, then to conquer a triathlon, and a number of other things. Talk about the importance of discipline in your life and in your children's life.
I love discipline. It is literally sacrificing short-term wants for longer, more important goals. And if we don't teach our children discipline, we're going to rob them of that, the beauty of what discipline can get them in their lives. For example, you've got to be able to discipline yourself to eat correctly, social things, spiritual things, go to the right things, and to be a part of a family. There's so many different things that require discipline. Unfortunately, we've linked discipline with an irresponsible use of punishment almost, because if you say discipline to some people, they don't realize how important of a word that is. Discipline doesn't restrict freedom. It gives you freedom to do the bigger things that you want to do by not getting involved in so much fluff beforehand.
And again, some of the very important principles that you can find in terms of discipline, as well as setting goals and all sorts of things, are in the book. But in the interest of time, let me move on to at least one other topic, and then I want to talk about how people can use this book. But you have a chapter here on I Can Get Along with Others, and that's the important issue of healthy relationships and friendships. And you know as well as I do, because of these digital devices, Karen, young people don't have the close, intimate friendships they used to have because they spend so much time looking at a screen. Now, they're deluded into thinking, well, I got a lot of friends because I got a lot of, quote, Facebook friends, but those are friends with air quotes in the air. And that is really important to begin to and learn how to develop healthy friendships, healthy relationships. And again, that's something where I think we just need to sort of counter-program what is happening in our culture.
It is so important that we teach our children about friendships. Otherwise, they may mistakenly believe that all their schoolmates are their friends, all their likes on Facebook are their friends, like you said. The idea of a friendship should be that you are making that other person's life better because you're in it, and they're making your life better. A real friend doesn't want you to do the wrong thing or something that's injurious to you. A real friend wants good and not bad in your life. It's interesting to me that the word evil is defined as harmful in effect or influence in Scripture. And evil is stuff that will hurt your children. And you want them to learn that and to see that if their friends are leading them to do something that will hurt them ultimately, then they're not a real friend. So it is important that we teach our children how to find a good friend and be a good friend. If someone's not walking down the road with you and is united in purpose, then they are maybe an acquaintance, and we need to teach our children the difference.
One of the things I want to mention is on your website, KarenBujinski.com, lots of resources, but one of those is you have a class on building better relationships. And so talk about some of the other resources in addition to this book, which are available on your website.
Yes, we do teach a class. I teach a class in my home, Building Better Relationships, and we have women, sometimes we have couples come to my home, and we just work on lifting the bar in your relationships. And every time I try to slack off and maybe take a few quarters off, the girls are pounding at my door saying, we need this class again, because it's just a good workout to not make excuses and to put that character in the front of your shelf, so that you remember what it takes to maybe have the power to shut up when you want to say something. I always teach them it's easier to shut up than it is to sweep up, and little things that just brush you off and polish you up so that you can utilize your relationships and bring something powerful to them and use them for the power God meant them to be used for.
Let me just mention, too, that you have nearly 100 pages of appendices. So, again, just a lot of great resources. And let's walk through there real quickly. First of all, parable of our lives. But let me go to the second one. Appendix B, character attributes and how to teach them, from alertness and attentiveness all the way to the end of the alphabet, which is just phenomenal. Because, again, there are times in which we hope that some of that gets caught as we go about our day-to-day activities. But if we can begin to be a little bit more resourceful and a little more intentional, all the way, like I said, from alertness to truthfulness versus deception, you've got pages and pages of ways in which you can demonstrate some of these ideas all the way up to issues of virtue and wisdom. So those are, again, some resources that are available, can be taught as maybe a family devotional or just maybe one more character quality. You could put it on maybe your refrigerator and say, that's the character quality we're working on today. Then you have a section on powerful ways to develop spiritual strength in your children, which was very helpful. Then a whole issue of church mentorship and mentoring and those kinds of topics, as well as just a whole way of beginning to think through all of these issues. So this is a phenomenal manual that you've put together. And Karen, just before I run out of time, I did mention, of course, that your website, KarenBuchinski.com, has the trailer on how to build children with integrity, but you also have one on how to build an enduring marriage. Talk about that for just a moment.
That's a great resource. People have been using that. I actually taught it at a local Bible college and to young men and women. A lot of women that aren't even in a marriage yet have used it and done study groups together. I have seen literally people divorced come back together after utilizing this material and filling out the workbook. And I can give you about five that just come to the top of my mind that were either in the throes of divorce or divorced already that are still back together because they utilized and implemented some of the things in that book. I'm really glad I was able to share some of that. I had one couple recently that said to me, I didn't even know it was possible to live like this, but it's just implementing strategies to be and do what God equipped us to do, but sometimes we don't take the time to look at it. And it's putting it into steps of things that you can take action on, not just read about, but take action on to make a difference.
Well, again, Karen has been with us today. We have a link to her website, KarenBuchinski.com. We also have a link to her Twitter feed and her Facebook page. And, of course, the book is entitled How to Build Children with Integrity. It's about 300 pages endorsed by a number of people that we've had on the program and just chock full of information. 10 chapters. We've looked at just a few of those and then 7 different appendices at the end. So just a great resource available to you. And Karen, thank you for joining us today here on Point of View.
Thank you for having me.
Let's, before we take a break, mention that